Hey everyone, we're so excited to tell you about our new membership.
We're creating exclusive After Dark episodes, monthly live Q&A and discussion calls,
and even some exclusive merch.
See all the benefits and tiers at patreon.com/glampolyam.
It causes you to hurt someone else unnecessarily when it's like you could just, if you are unhappy, just get a divorce and then you both can go your separate ways and possibly find happiness with somebody else, but yet you aren't allowed to do that. You are forced to hurt someone by cheating on them.
Right.
Just to be like, okay, now we can move on with our lives. This is Glamorous and Polyamorous,
a show about exploring polyamory and other forms of non-monogamy after religion.
I'm Kelly Smith.
And I'm Zavi Benjamin. Haven't done this in a while, right? Holy shit. But yeah, happy new year. It's so great to see you again. Hopefully you missed our faces. We missed yours. What are we going to be talking about, Kel?
First of all, I think we should acknowledge, like, have we cheated on somebody?
I don't feel like I've cheated on anybody. There is a girlfriend that I had when I was about 12 that at the time said that I had cheated on her. And so I do want to come clean about that. I'm sure there are family members that would say that I'm a cheater as well, just because I'm polyamorous. But I don't know. I don't think I've ever, like, specifically or consciously cheated on anybody. No. Right. What about you?
I would say no, I have never cheated on somebody or been cheated on in the sense of, like, having an affair with somebody, or my partner has never had an affair on me, I would say. But I'm sure, like, yeah, like you said, people in your family or my family might consider it cheating that we're polyamorous.
Oh man, do I want to admit this, that I feel like then I've done things that I would not say are strictly ethical to this topic.
Okay. For me, I would say it was more towards the beginning of our journey into non-monogamy.
Right. Same.
Where there was things where you and I were honest with each other, but I didn't know the other person wasn't being honest with their partner.
Right.
And and then it was kind of like, oh, wait a second. Not everyone has full knowledge and consent of what is happening here.
Right.
And I feel like we both have made that mistake with people.
I did know that this person wasn't being honest with their partner. Mm. I think they told me that. I'm not even gonna, like, try to justify that situation. It wasn't a situation that I feel great about.
Okay.
And I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah.
So again, I would say, have I cheated? No. Have I been in situations where I feel like morally, would I make a different choice now? Yes.
Same.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. And I feel the same way too for me. I feel like the things that we were doing, I would consider them PG. It's not like we were doing anything, like, so scandalous and so bad. But the other person didn't have the full knowledge and consent from their partner as to what they were doing with me. Many people feel like polyamory, if you're polyamorous, you're just cheating on your spouse, or it's an excuse to just cheat on your spouse.
Right.
And I feel like it's so different than just cheating on your spouse or having an affair, because all of the parties have full knowledge and consent of what is happening. So how can it be cheating if everyone has consented to what is happening?
I can't help but mention that I feel like the religious perspective on this definitely plays a role. I can see where some people are coming from when they claim that polyamory is cheating. Because from a religious perspective, like, at least the religion that I grew up in, you know, it like anything outside of a heterosexual monogamous marriage is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if you're coming from that kind of conservative background, I can see why some people think that polyamory is like cheating. But again, what you said is important, that consent is the big thing around here. And that's something that I researched a little bit about that. There's this article on Cosmopolitan about this topic. And I loved one of the quotes said that polyamory tends to be built around the ideas of honesty, communication, and centering the feelings of everyone involved. And so in most cases, no, polyamory is not cheating.
I wanted to talk about the religious aspect of it too, because in the religion that we both grew up in the Jehovah's Witness religion, they won't admit this, but it's basically set up in a way that if you are married and you are unhappy in your marriage, some people feel that the only way to get out of their marriage is to cheat on their spouse. They quote the scripture, oh, Jehovah hates a divorcing. And then they quote the scripture of like, the only way to get out of a marriage is if one party commits adultery. So then people think, okay, what else, other option do I have? But I have to cheat on my spouse just to get out of this marriage. You can't just divorce the person and move on. Because right. even once you divorce them, let's say you didn't cheat on them, if you marry somebody else, then that's considered cheating on your spouse.
Yeah.
And then you still get in trouble anyways.
Yeah.
So it's basically set up to force people to come to this conclusion that all their only option is to cheat on their spouse just to get out of their marriage.
It's interesting to see that there are people who gamify or find the loopholes in that system, interestingly. And then there are other people who like are trapped by it.
Right.
Because there are these people who are in kind of abusive relationships. And then they don't see a way out of that relationship. But then you have other people who they know that that's the rule, that you can only get remarried, you know, if there's been some kind of what they call adultery
or infidelity,
you know, or infidelity.
Mm-hmm.
And so they'll just basically wait the other person out until they do it, you know?
Yeah.
Which is like so fucked up. It's so fucked up. And you know, at the end of the day, it's like, how does that contribute to happy people?
And it causes you to hurt someone else unnecessarily when it's like you could just, if you are unhappy, just get a divorce. And then you both can go your separate ways and possibly find happiness with somebody else. But yet you aren't allowed to do that. You are forced to hurt someone by cheating on them.
Right.
Just to be like, okay, now we can move on with our lives.
When I was doing research for this, I saw a whole range of different statistics. So I can't quote one and say that I feel confident about it. I mean, I saw one statistic that said 20% of monogamous marriages like have some kind of infidelity. I saw another one that said up to 70%. So I don't really know. I'd love to know what that percentage is inside of Jehovah's Witnesses or purity culture adjacent kind of situations like that. I would be very fascinated to see. Cheating happens for a variety of reasons, but especially in cults, it feels like cheating happens because of very toxic situations.
People wonder then, okay, if in a polyamorous relationship, everyone has full knowledge and consent of what is happening. So then if they all know about it, then is it really cheating? But you can still cheat on a polyamorous partner. And that would look something like you have set up boundaries and you go outside of those boundaries, or your partner has a boundary that they have set with you and they step outside of that.
I found this article from Polyphilia that was talking about cheating and polyamory. And I loved this paragraph. It said, a concerning number of people view polyamory as an inherently enlightened or evolved relationship style, instead of acknowledging that polyamory is simply a different way of doing relationships, and that people mess up in polyamory just as frequently as they do in monogamy. In polyamory, cheating occurs when you break relationship agreements with your partners or disrespect boundaries explicitly stated by your partners. And so I thought that was a really great definition to bring into this because, cheating doesn't look the same as it does in monogamy, but it still can happen.
That's why it's so important that the communication needs to be maintained and everyone needs to be aware of what the boundaries are.
This is an important point because I was thinking about it and I feel like you and I honestly haven't had all that great communication sometimes about what cheating does look like in our relationship. And so I think this is one of those things that is important to talk about when you're forming your relationships. And it's one of, again, the pros and cons of doing polyamory, of doing things differently, because there aren't always scripts for how you're supposed to do this. Right. But I do think like it should be a foundational question that you talk about as you start to build your relationships. Like, what are the agreements that we are agreeing to? What are the boundaries here? And what does cheating look like for us?
And I think it's a conversation that continuously needs to be had, because I feel like you and I even had different boundaries at the beginning of our journey into polyamory that we don't have now. We set different intentions. We felt differently. And then the more and more we practice polyamory, then we're like, we realized, okay, there are some things that we can change in our dynamic or in our communication with one another. And obviously I feel like we trust one another. That's very important. And we're both pretty honest and open about our feelings about people, how we feel about other people. So I don't feel like we have that dynamic of like worry that either one of us will cheat on the other one without telling the other person if we like someone else or not.
I think when you and I started out, I think we had what I would call now rules about what we were supposed to do, you know, or what we were allowed to do on each other's end. And I think that that's transformed to more like, we agree to communicate about these things, you know?
Yeah.
And when we don't communicate about those things, that is a violation. That does still happen in polyamory, you know? Yeah. And it might not be over, again, sex.
Right. Yeah.
You know, it betrayal can look a lot of different ways. So what's your key takeaway?
I think for me, a key takeaway is that polyamory necessitates open and honest communication. You have to be honest with your partners and honest with yourself too about how you're feeling and what your boundaries are, and clearly communicate that with each other. And I feel like that's something that I'm constantly working on, and it's something that I do struggle with, but it's something that I always want to push forward and try to do because I want to work on that.
My key takeaway is also centered around communication, because that's one of the things that I've learned is again, really needed in polyamory, because so many people have different definitions of what being like open about who they're dating is.
Yeah.
Right. And what is that level of information that you want, what feels right to you and what feels right to the relationship, you know, in terms of, you know, who are your partners dating, or who are your partners having sex with, who are they having, you know, unprotected sex with, things like that. And like what those boundaries are and what does the crossing of those boundaries mean?
Yeah. And cheating is not always one person having an affair with somebody else.
Right.
Cheating can happen in a number of different ways. It's not just about sex.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Glamorous and Polyamorous. We'd love to hear from you, of course, in the comments. What has been your experience with cheating in polyamory as you left purity culture? What are your thoughts about it, and how have they changed? We'd love to hear from you. You can leave a comment below, like I said, or send us an email at hello@glampolyam.com. Where can they find us on the internet, Kel?
They can find us at Glam Polyam on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, Threads, all the places on the internet.
Yeah. Thank you so much again for listening. If you haven't already, we would love if you rate us and review wherever you listen to your podcast. That would help us so much with, you know, getting the show out there to people. And if you send us a DM or email us your review, we'll send you a sticker.
So,
yeah. And people are loving the Slut for Kind People sticker.
I know.
They're putting them on their water bottles. I heard a story the other day that someone asked, oh, where did you get that sticker? Like, they just happened to see it, you know?
Ooh, cool.
So, yeah, yay. it's already grown in popularity. Thank you so much for listening. If you know someone that might love our show,
please share it with them, as that's the best way for new people to find the podcast, and it would mean so much to us.
Thank you.